somebody sitting beside you, just look at the person and smile. Just smile. Give that person, you know, a good one smile. Hallelujah. Then go further. Just prophesy something into that person's life. The person sitting close to you, say something wonderful with all faith and believe it will happen to that person. Bless the person with your heart. Amen. And so shall it be. How many of you were in our praise service? Wow, it was dance all through. I forgot I was two. I was just dancing. Amen. It was really a huge success. We were struggling where to put our leg in this place. People were filled to the beam. Hallelujah. Let's clap for Jesus. That was really awesome. That was really, really awesome. It was a great time in God's presence. And hallelujah. And how many of you look up to the next praise service? How many of you? Wow, glory. And we're adding an addition. In our next praise service, we are going to be wearing our traditional attire. If you are Igbo, dress like an Igbo woman. Show it. If you are Yoruba, dress like a Yoruba. The way your grandmother used to dress, so not the fucking nice one. Hallelujah. So we are going to be thanking God. It's an African praise evening. So we are going to be thanking God in an African way. I tell you, that praise section is going to bring about testimony in your life. That to the point that when you're coming to the next praise evening, what you will do, your desire, just write it. As you're praising God, you're praising, consigning that desire. And I bet you before the next praise section, you are receiving it as an answer. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory. Amen. It's a privilege to host you again this Sunday evening. You know, there's something special about SMN today. We are just a warm family. Warm, vibrant family. Where most of us are young people. And, you know, we enjoy to be around each other. How many of you look up to Singles and Married today? How many of you look up to that? That's beautiful. I look up to it because it's a place where you're free. You can do, you know, in church is a little bit different from the way we are here. So you can express yourself. You can talk. We laugh. Why we are still spiritual. We're not missing the point, but we can socialize. Amen? That's why we are Singles and Married today. Hallelujah. And I pray that what brings you here every evening, with time you become an epitome of wisdom. That people look at your life and they will see there is something different about you. When you go to school and you receive tutorials, people that do tutorials, they are more intelligent than people that don't do. So that's what your life will become. You've gone to church and you receive what every other person is receiving in your church, but you're adding an addition. It should show in your life, and it will show this year in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And if you're believing God for a spouse, I'm going to be landing some wisdom in your hand today. And also, when you're married, I'm going to be telling you the secret of supernatural attraction. Amen? There are a lot of people that feel people are hardly attracted to me. I'm going to be giving you secret that will make you to be irresistible. That people will like you, whether for a romantic relationship, whether in your place of work, people will just generally like you. Because if you are attracted to people, or people easily notice you, favor is very close. The difference between Esther and every other person in the competition was just that she was noticed. Immediately she got into the place, the keeper of the women noticed her. That was an attraction. And that attraction gave her the secret she needed to become a queen. And that's the reason we're talking about her today. So those secrets God will be giving in your hand, those things that will make you to be attracted to others. Hallelujah. Because the keeper of the women was not into a romantic relationship with her. But yet, he was attracted to her. So it's not everybody that will marry you. It's not only that. You can be married, but you still need to be attracted to people that will become a helper to your destiny. Hallelujah. So that's what we're going to be sharing this evening. But before we go into that, if today is your first time of being here, I want you to give me opportunity to acknowledge you and recognize you. This is your first time of being a Singles and Married today. We'd love to welcome you. Amen. If you are around her, just can you be seated? Let's see you. Let's see your face. Amen. Another person, this is your first time of being here. Wow, please just be seated for a few minutes so that they can recognize. If you are around them, welcome them warmly. Give them one GLM slogan. Don't you have a slogan here? Hallelujah. Amen. Do you have any GLM slogan? Is there something that we always say here? Maybe a word that you've caught here and you've heard it more than twice. You've never heard a particular word more than twice that have stuck to your brain. You know, when you go to a particular place, there must be a word either the pastor or the speaker is used to that he says more than twice. I think I asked somebody and he said, whosoever that sing with you will sin against you. That's what she have heard more than twice. So what have you heard more than twice? Let's be a good forgiveness. You've heard that more than twice. So there must be something you've heard more than twice. What is that? Let's talk now. We are started. Wow. So you have heard that more than twice. That's like a slogan to him. So what have you heard more than twice? Let's be warm now, young people. Getting to God's original. See, that's what you have had more than twice. So you have been going to school now, we are writing exams. What have you had more than twice? Exam day. So if we have to pass script around now, we'll share 500,000. I know you crack your head to say, even the things we've not said yet, you write it. Amen. Hallelujah. So one of the greatest secrets of attraction is when you're not too rigid. One of the greatest secrets of attraction, we're talking about the secret of supernatural attraction. One of the greatest secrets of attraction is when you're not too rigid. So number one is be flexible. One, the secret of attraction, that's what we're talking about. Be flexible. If you want to be attracted to others, rigid people are hardly attractive. Do you understand me? People that are rigid, people don't like them. Flexibility is a mother of friendship. When you are flexible, the ability to adapt to situation easily and not hold firmly to a position for too strongly. And friendship is the foundation for relationship. Flexibility is the mother of friendship, and friendship is the foundation for relationship. So if you are too rigid, you make enemy too quickly. Rigid people make enemy too quickly. Flexibility is the ability to adjust quickly to situation. You don't hold too firmly to a particular opinion. When you are too rigid, people become your enemy, whether you know it or not. They just want to distance themselves from you. And I'm not saying being flexible does not mean that you should give up your integrity or violate your righteous stand. That's not what I'm saying. That's not what flexibility means. Flexibility means denying yourself of some comfort in order to win another person. Even if it is not 100% okay with you, but you're just wanting to make peace reign. You know that word, to make peace reign. So instead of you to hold so firmly, this one is hold. The reason why people go to court is because of rigidity. This one said, I'm right. The other person is right. When you're flexible, people love you easily. While I was growing up, I have two brothers, two younger brothers. One is very rigid. The other one is very flexible as a child. So it means that if my mother is supposed to get two gifts, and some reason she was only able to get one, you can pet one of them and say, please, next time I will get you this gift. But there is one that you can't talk to. It's the one that needs that gift. So what happened? The one that was flexible became the love of the family. While we're growing up, everybody loved that one because he was a flexible child. The other one wants to, when is this, is that. So that is a life experience that tells me that when you're rigid, people don't like you that much. And you may not know that is the reason why you're not sustaining friendship for a long time. because you are too rigid. So you need to be flexible if you want to win friendship. It is very difficult for a rigid person to have a fruitful relationship. It is very difficult, even in the choice of partner. There are a lot of people that stay single for a long time because they are rigid in their decisions and in their choices. Some people, their mind is fixed on a skinny, dark, tall man. That is what they want. They wanted that one, they were 30, no one. They still wanted the same man, 32, no man. 35, no man, they are still holding firmly. Some people, it have to be a light-skinned woman with a lot of back and front. And they are not seeing it, they are almost 45, they are still looking for that kind of person. And later, some of the women mandate to see somebody that is a little bit above the height of a dwarf. And while they were searching, they saw people that were better than that. But because they were rigid, they couldn't quickly adjust their decisions. So that made them to stay longer, single. But when they finally made up their mind, it's almost a dwarf they married. And they were always looking for a tall person. It does happen. A lot of women are married late. Most of them didn't marry their heart desire. In fact, if you have one-on-one with them, you will know that they saw people that were better. But now it's like, time is going. Let me just pick what I want. But if they were flexible early enough, they will even get a better choice. So if you are flexible, life is much more easier for you when you're flexible. Hallelujah. As a husband, I always tell people, some of you that are married here or that will be married, don't just make decision and say that is final and sit down on your decision. No, you have to learn to take your wife's view. See how your decision affects her. Don't just say it is final, that is what I want. That's rigidity. And you find that your wife has fallen out of love with you, you don't know, she's still in your house. Because you're rigid. You need to be flexible. I tell people, two things happen to men that don't listen to their wife. They either die early or they die poor. That's the truth. Because God is so awesome. Though you are whole, there is some things he places in a woman that is not in a man. There are some things in a man that is not in a woman. So for you to be whole as a person, you need to take the advantage of both of them. But if you stay on your point and say, waiting woman, they talk. This one, a woman talk. That woman talk can save your life. I had a grandfather, though I didn't grow up to see him. My grandmother was a very diligent woman. And he always advised him, don't go out and eat outside. You know, to you, you say, woman talk, they are too careful. But he died of poison. The day he was going to eat that food, the woman warned, as you are going to that barrier, don't eat. He stepped into the place. It was the last hand of padded yam. They say, yeah, you sick women, come and take this one. He ate it. And the moment he put it in his throat, that was it. That was how he was sick until he died. A woman that does not listen to women. You either die early or you die poor. So you don't have to be rigid in your decision. Amen? Some ladies today are not married because of they held too strongly to doctrines. Even doctrines can make you to be hated by people. See, God does not view life from one man's point of view. Know that. There is no man's point of view that God view life through. So you can't hold a doctrine too firm. Do you understand what I'm saying? There is no particular life that this is the life God endures. You have to be doing like, no, no, no. God is a liberal person. That's why he created all of us differently, with different attributes, because he loves to see. God hates sameness. Do you know that? That's why your eyes, your two eyes are different. Your two legs are slightly different. All the miracles that Jesus Christ performed on the blind, he did it differently. Do you know that? Some is part on them, some is just. He did it differently. He hates sameness. He loves innovation. So there is no way you can trap God to a particular lifestyle and say, this is only what God accepted. That's why you see in Christianity there is so much division, because we are yet to understand this. That this is your doctrine does not mean the other person's doctrine is fake. That is how God has chosen to manifest through that person. So you have to know your own is right, but the other person's own is also right. So it's because we don't understand this church will feel this one is an error, the other one feels an error. No. There was a place Paul was saying, some do this, but the same spirit. Some this, the same spirit. It manifested through them in different ways. So don't hold too much to a particular form of life and say, oh, this is the way it should be. So when I say don't be too rigid, I'm not saying give in to sin. So that before you say, this guy be pressurizing me for sex. Pastor Judy said, don't be too rigid. Let me be Libra. That's not what I'm saying at all. You have to be like your heavenly father. Though he have never seen sin, but yet he's a flexible God. Do you know God is flexible? If God was not flexible, me and you wouldn't be sitting here. We will see no good. Forgiveness is flexibility. Though you fail to behave like this, he's still flexible to give you another chance. That's flexibility. If you have stayed firm and say, these are my law, if they fail it, they are doomed, nobody will be here. So God is a flexible God, and you must become like your father. Be flexible in the things that you do. Don't be too firm. I'm dating a girl. If the girl crossed this line, it's gone. You will see a lot of them that will be gone. You'll be single for a long time. Because your test is too high. Nobody can pass it. Rigid people, they hardly forgive and they rarely move forward. Do you hear that? A rigid person hardly forgives and they rarely move forward. So don't be rigid. Another great secret of attraction is when you are slow to anger. Secret number two, be slow to anger. If you want everybody to find, as it caught your fancy, be slow to anger. Proverbs says, he that is soon angered dwells foolishly, but he that is slow to wrath is of great understanding. If you are a person that is quick to anger, you must be behaving foolishly. Seriously, because at that period where you are angry, you are not in your right senses. It's like somebody that drinks ogoro-goro. That's how anger is. At that time, haven't you seen some people when they're angry, or say if the person they vest, leave and move? It's a temporary madness. You must behave foolishly. Nobody wants to hang around a foolish person. That's the truth. Nobody wants to hang around foolish person. One of the ways for you not to be easily angered is not to be too, don't be too quick to think of worse situation. The reason why people tear their clothes and start fighting, because they always think that the thing have turned out bad. If somebody says something against you to another person you are seeking a job from his hand, and you don't think of the worst situation, you won't be that angry. If you know how to think that, okay, if I don't get this job, maybe it's a better job waiting for me, you won't be fighting. It is because you're, I don't have this job. Where will I see money? So that's why you are that angry. Amen? Always think positive of situation, even when it doesn't initially look like it. Anger is an enemy. Do you know that? It brings out the ugly side of you before you ever had an opportunity to prove the best side of you. Do you understand that? It helps you, anger helps you to bring out your ugly side before you can even have opportunity to present your best side. So that's an enemy. So it means that you are trading your weakness. So when people want to judge you, they judge you by your ugly one instead of your best. So anger is an enemy. Anger also can become a strong hold that can delay marital destiny. Some people think someone is disturbing them in their village. Nobody. It is that anger. I have shared a story over and over again. The person I was supposed to get married to, I didn't marry him because he had an anger problem. It makes you to lose treasures. Anger. When he's angry, he will tear his shirt like this. I say, not true. He goes, soon Saturday, tear me. That's the truth. So it makes you to lose treasure. Not that he hates you, but at that time, that spirit comes upon him, he will misbehave. I said, make I run before I know day again. So anger will sell your treasures from you. Anger can set your whole destiny on fire. People don't like doing things with people that have anger problems. People don't like doing things with people that have anger problem. It makes you repulsive. Anger makes you repulsive. And number one cure for anger is self-control. Let's talk about some of the things. How do you even know you have an anger problem? Let's point out so that you know, okay, do I have or do I not have? If you are this person that say things and later regret it, you have anger problem. Let's say me and you were having conversation, and you say a thing in that process, and you now start regretting it later, then you have anger problem. Because the only thing that will make you to say things that you don't mean is anger. Then two, if you're always an offender, there are people in relationship now then they beg. Now then they always they offend. So it means you have anger problem. Three, if people don't befriend you for too long a time, do you know people with anger problems, they won't know. Before they know, their friends have disappeared. Though pride can still give you the same result. A proud person don't have friends for a long time. People just, they don't bother about you. Number four, if you easily insult people. People with anger problems, they don't know when they throw insult. So if you are very insultive, you have anger problem. Then, four or five, if you had ever been moved to fight. How many of us have fought here? There are some people that have not fought too. So if you've ever been moved to fight, because the only thing that makes you to fight is what? You're angry. So you fight. Amen. So with this point, you know if you have anger problem or not. Ways to deal with anger problem. Number one, you need to ask God for help. Do you know that God can supernaturally give you grace to control anger? It is something that you need to pray about. Father, give me the grace to control anger. Bishop Oyedepo have said it over and over again. One of his problems while he was growing up is anger. He still have a little bit of it. But not like the way he said he used to have it. Do you understand me? He said he has to be asking God for help. Father, help me. Give me the grace, you know, to control anger. But there are some of his testimony where he will say, I conk somebody, the person turn around. And you know, that's still a little bit of it. Amen. Number two way to deal with anger. Always have at the back of your mind, everything will work out. Always have at the back of your mind that everything will work out for your good. I said it earlier, the reason why you're angry is because you've thought about the worst situation. But if you think that things are going bad, but it's for my good, you won't need to be angry. True or false? There is that scripture that says, all things work together for good for them that love God. There are some things in my life that I've actually looked as if it's negative, but over time, it was a positive result. But initially, it won't look like that. So always look at life as if everything will work out for your good. Somebody says things that are not you. Don't bother. Everything will work out for your good. Number three, knows that anger lies in the bosom of a fool. There was a couple that was having problem, and I was taking them through series of counseling, and the man always beat the wife. You know, sometimes the Holy Spirit speaks through you, you don't know. When they will come around, they will judge. You know, like when people are judging to you for hours. Sometimes you don't even know the one to take. The wife will judge, the husband will canter. And I just said a word. I told the husband, I said, the Bible said that anger lies in the bosom of a fool. So anytime that you are about to get angry, ask yourself, am I a fool? If you know you're not a fool, then why should you be moved to anger to the point of beating your wife? I just said that I didn't know. So they left. That was what the Holy Spirit used to heal that home. Next time they were seeing me, he said, that word you said, that anger lies in the bosom of a fool. The moment I moved to anger, I said, am I a fool? So if I'm not a fool, then why am I behaving like a fool? That the lady confessed to me after 1 year that my husband have not touched me once. Just because he knows that she is not a fool. So anytime you're about to react badly, ask yourself, am I a fool? If I'm not a fool, then why act like one? Do you understand me? That's one of the ways to control anger. Number 4, develop self-control. See, you own, I believe, that everyone owns he or her own self. Don't allow situation to take over you. Take over the situation. You can. It's not just because I'm teaching. It's doable. It is doable. Then, number 5, learn to be quiet when you're angry. Do you know that sometimes maybe you can't control how you feel? But do you know anger is more deadly when you add a voice to it? If I'm angry right now, I don't voice it. You can't hold me to anything. Somebody may know that, okay, she frowned or she walked out. But you can't really say, okay, this is what she said. So anger is more deadly when you add a voice to it. So when you're angry, learn to be quiet. Because if you're quiet, you will not say what you're not supposed to say when you're quiet. Negative testimony of a lady, that I've always lost relationship because anytime she's angry, she says something wrong. According to her, even when she now apologized later, the people still walk out on her. But if she was not saying something wrong, I don't think they will walk out. So don't add a voice to anger. The third way, the third secret of attraction is build a good character. Third secret of attraction, build a good character. Character is a person's personality, right? With external influences. So character is your personality with external influences. Influence from he or her environment. So character is personality plus all influences that you have. So if character can be influenced, then it means it can be built. Do you understand what I'm saying? Most of our character, we learned it from the first people we had contact with. Our parents, our siblings, around. Do you understand? So it can be built, it can be worked on. If you can get it from us, it can be worked on. For you to be a friend of all, you need to develop a warm attitude. For people, a lot of people have lost good jobs, not just relationships, good jobs because of bad character. I employed a driver that only worked with us, I think, a half month or a month. And if you're driving me on Third Mainland Bridge, I don't like the water side of it. I have been driving for Lagos for 14 years. I've never driven there. It is not, I don't just like to be seeing water. You know, I don't just like it. Then, if you're driving me, I must tell you, don't take this last part of the Third Mainland Bridge. Take the first, second, at most the third. Don't go there. I told him the first day he was carrying me through Third Mainland, he ignored as if he didn't hear and passed through there. While we're coming back in the evening, he took that same lane. I told him, I just told you before that I don't like this lane. He kept me quiet. I kept the lane. And I waited for him. I was with my cousin in the car. I waited for him for 15 minutes. Let's assume that he's trying to go out of the place. He didn't. and I insisted that I don't want to be on this lane. He paused. You know, like there are cars coming. He just paused, almost wanted, he wanted to leave me on Third Mainland Bridge. As in, because of anger, go out of the car. The car close to us almost hit us. What did I tell you? I don't like this side. So because of anger, he lost his job. Even that day, I still pardoned. I said, I don't have strength to be looking for a driver. I left him. Another day, he just told me, Madam, I'm going home to wash my clothes. If you can't keep the time, I don't want again. But he actually wanted. But he was angry as at that time. A few days later, he started sending text message, oh, I'm sorry, and I'm this. So he's always overwhelmed by anger. So people have lost so many things they can't recover because they have bad character. Amen? So in any relationship, attitude plays a major role. You discover people, your personality is discovered by your character. So it means that character is the primary qualification for a successful relationship, any kind of relationship, whether work relationship, whether a romantic relationship, any kind of relationship, you need character. So character is the way people do things. Let me tell you, Proverbs said something. He said, the poor is hated in his own neighborhood. Poverty means lack. So when you hear poor, it doesn't only mean financial poverty. When you have poor attitude, you'll be hated. He said the poor is hated in his environment. When you have poor personality, when you're poor in personality, you'll be hated. When you're poor in kindness, when you don't have smile, when you don't have a good heart, people hate you. But he said the rich, a rich person, make friends of all. So if you have a warm attitude, people want to associate with you. If you have a kind heart, people want to associate with you. So when you're poor, people don't want to associate with you. So it is hard for people to want to relate with people that don't have good personality. How do I improve my character? If character will determine the success of every relationship, whether working relationship, mother and child relationship, how do I improve my character? One, you have to learn from others. See, you see people around. Any quality you see in a person, mimic it. Do you know you can do that? You see something good that, this girl, she's always smiling, and you like the person for that. They start mimicking that person. It's all only a matter of time. You find out that you become like that if you constantly practice it. So number one way to develop a good character, learn from others. Anything you see in others, try to adopt that character. Because we've learned that character is your personality with external influences. That's the reason why if you have a white man that you talk with all the time, with time you find out that his accent is gradually coming into you. Now, you are mimicking without you knowing. So you can mimic character and you become like that over time. If I travel abroad and I stay like 2 months and 3 months and return, my English change. I wouldn't know it have changed, but people would say that I'm talking differently. And if I come to GLM to teach, that first teaching is always different. But when I stay here again, I become the way I am. So it means that you can be influenced by others. You can be influenced by your environment. So mimic people and adopt good character. Then number two way to improve on your character, read the word and spend time in prayers. See, if you romance God for a long time, you become like him. When you read the word of God all the time, you find out that it's purifying you. You that used to be hateful, you learn to love others. You that used to talk, there are some things I never knew in the Bible. When I come across it, I say, I'll be doing this thing. No. I try to want to change my ways. It takes time. But over time, you find out gradually you have gotten into that character. So spend time in prayers. Spend time reading the word of God. You find out that your life has been fine-tuned. Amen? Number three, be conscious of it. You have to be conscious of your character. Anything that more than two people have told you about yourself, please stop arguing it. That is you. I said this, I think, in one of our meetings. There is what I do. If you've lived with me for a long time, or I've dealt with you for a long time, I will seek your opinion about me. I'll tell you, sorry, I won't be angry. You know, there are some people, they want to please you. I won't be angry. What do you notice about me? Look for a friend. It could be your parents. It will make you to know who you are. Mama, this will not be. Don't tell me what it will make me sweet. What do you notice about me that you feel a character, the positive side and the negative side? If your mother is sincere, it will tell you what he has observed. Then those things that your friend or your parents have told you, don't argue it. It is you. They won't be lying on you. Accept it, then be conscious of it. That's the only way you can work on it. I can remember the first time I told somebody, what do I do? He said, you argue a lot. The thing angered me in my mind. Why you tell me? But that's the truth. I was the one that talked the person into, don't deceive me, be sincere, be... When he now told me, just like a blow to me, boom. I said, I don't argue a lot. He said, hey, but this will make me know what to tell you. It's still even argument. I don't argue a lot. It's still argument. Do you understand me? But you need to know so that you will know what to work on. When I got married, it was a challenge. I argue if my husband and I and a friend is in the car. If he's in this position, I'm in that position because I have ideas. I know what to say. But at a point, I'm like, ah, would they give me money in Ikeja local government if I win? No. So what am I arguing? But if you don't know, you will never be conscious of it. And people will just dislike you for that and you won't know. Do you understand me? So sample opinion for close people, from close people, or think of those things that more than one person or two have told you about you, then work on it. I know some people, when they lost a relationship, they will call the person. I understand we are no longer dating, but for the sake of my tomorrow, what is it that I really did that you didn't like? Have you ever asked a boyfriend or a girlfriend that? It is good you ask. Because nobody you give sugar, you will take it off. There must be something you were doing that person could accommodate. But I'm not saying if the person talk you down, then take the talk down. Because some people, you were not meant to be. So if you like, give them your best. Your best is their worst. So when they are saying it, you have to see fitter what is you, what is not you. So that people don't talk down your spirit. But sometimes just ask a sincere one. Now, what is it that I was doing? If he tells you, you argue, you do this, please don't argue with him. It might be, in your next relationship, improve on that character. Do you understand me? That is the way to build a character. Then number four, secret of attraction. Don't be over-religious. People don't know this. When you are over-religious, people hate you for it. Don't be over-religious. Being over-religious make people to perceive you wrongly, and it drives people away from you. Like I said before, God is not constrained to a particular way of life. So don't hold too much to your doctrines and stop relating to people based on that. There are some people that don't relate with other people except their church members. That's over-religious. For what? So if your husband was destined to be in another assembly, uncle, you won't get married. Do you understand me? Please don't be over-religious. God is not restrained to a particular way of life. He created all human beings. The only thing he told us in the word of God, that we should not be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. He didn't say somebody from another church, please. The kingdom of God is one. The church of Christ is one. You just have your different denomination, but the body of Christ is one. So please don't be over religious so that you don't miss your treasure in life. Your Christianity should reflect in your heart. It should show in the way you show kindness, your compassion, care, love, always willing to help. That is a genuine way to show that you are godly. Not in your religious slogan and talk. These days, people don't let people listen. Glory. But they are just saying it. They are not acting it. Christianity is not in your slogan at all. It is not your religious statement. It is from your heart. Let people perceive your Christianity from the way you relate to others. Not what you say. That people can't greet good morning anymore. Talk less of religion, act more of God personality. In that way, you become accepted by all. Hallelujah. Let people see your godliness through your dealings with others. Abraham was a wise man. He knows how to come down to the level of the world, yet stay in God. Look at those, our forefathers. Look at their history. That was why each time he leave his base to go to another country because of famine, when he's coming out, he comes out with treasure. He was a wise man. There was a place in the Bible, Genesis 12:10. He said, now there was a famine in the land. So Abraham went down to Egypt to sojourn there. They said, for the famine was very severe in the land. Somebody had famine and left to go to Egypt. When he got there, in 13, when he was coming out, they said, so, Genesis 13:1. So Abraham went up from Egypt, him and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him, into Negev. And Abraham was very rich in livestock, in silver and in gold. Somebody that left a place for famine was coming back with all treasure. He knows how to play the two parts. He knows how to speak the Egyptian language, yet stay as he is in God. Abraham was a wise man. He knows, see, the wisdom of God, the Christians are not, we are not displaying it yet. You can speak both languages. You are in the world, so you should understand the language of the world, but not allowing the world to influence you. He knows when he was coming to a place, to you think he was lying. He told his wife, when you get there, please don't say you are my wife. Say you are my sister. Why? He understands what the word is, that when they see a beautiful woman, they'll be attracted to a beautiful woman. You see wisdom. So for your sake that I may live. But he didn't say a total lie. Sarah was actually a sister. So he told a half-truth. And he got in there because of Sarah. That was how he saw the gold and the silver he came out from Egypt with. You see, a smart man, he knows how to play the two roles. You speak too much of religion, people don't like you for it. See, when you go and meet a Muslim governor and be saying, Jesus, 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 he'll hate you for it. But if you go there with Jesus' personality and don't say a word, he will love you. Do you know that? You are truthful, you are sincere, you know what to say, you know what to do. In fact, he will enthrone you. But if you just come with Jesus, love you, Jesus, love you, he will not want to see you. That's the wisdom. So everybody loves the personality of Jesus. You don't need to talk it first. Let them see it in you. Look at Joseph. What did Joseph do? It was his personality that enthroned him. In fact, he was a slave, so there's no way he can come to his master's house and be talking about God. But because of who he was and the personality he carried, the master made him, in fact, he gave him opportunity over all, except for just small exception. That was what enthroned him in Egypt. His personality, not talk. We talk religion too much. So the way we are talking religion, it's even is waternizing. Sorry, allow me to use that word. It has watered down Christianity. Because everybody is saying it, pagan, everything, just speaking religious terms. So people don't even believe you anymore. Let it show from you. When you're over religious, people hate you for it. Carry the personality of God, not religion. So that's the way you'll be excelling your place of work. You're excelling everything. In fact, a religious person don't call my fancy. That's the truth. If I see you, I talk to you like a normal person. I don't have to tell you slogan. Good morning, how are you? Some people, you can't. I was coming from church in Ota some time ago, and I carried somebody in my car. Are you coming down, sir? No, I'm not coming down, I'm lifting up. Where can I drop you? I'm not dropping, I'm stepping forward. I didn't know what to tell him again to drop. Jesus Christ. Okay, don't they step now again? Anything I tell him, I'm not dropping, I'm moving on. I'm not, okay, oh, and I kept quiet. Later, and I say, hey, here. I said, what kind of thing is this? So we can't say normal language again. Ah, please. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Number 5, be friendly. Secret of attraction number 5, be friendly. He that wants a friend must first display an attitude of friendship. You must consciously develop a friendly attitude if you want to win friendship. You can't come somewhere and your face is tight and you want people to like you. The Bible said, he that wants a friend must first of all show himself friendly. You must be friendly if you want to attract other people. A friendly attitude can even win an unfriendly person. I cannot employ somebody that is not friendly. There are some people, they don't laugh. They don't smile. My heart is always saying, what is in this person's heart that is not talking? You need to be friendly. When you get into any place, be the first to greet. Be the first to greet. Show a friendly attitude. How are you? How is everything? Let people know you for that. You find out people respect you. Some people are too proud, for God's sake. And because you're proud, you can't win nobody. If people are looking for who to key, people will suggest you. You don't know there are people like that. When they are looking for who to do it, they will suggest that this person should go. Or when they are looking for who to sack in a company, you'll say, this one that carry a frown face. I had one bishop, he was saying something one time. He said he had a pastor among his board. No matter how they say things that will make people smile, he will not laugh. He said, transfer this man to another place. How can you just carry an environment that is not friendly? People will not want to associate with you. You have to learn to be friendly. Hallelujah. Number 6, carry a cheerful countenance. Carry a cheerful countenance. Secret of attraction number 6. You can be disliked for your disposition. Do you know that? The way you are, people just hate you for it. So you need to be cheerful. There was a man in the Bible called Nehemiah. He was the one that rebuilt the wall of Jericho. I don't know if you know him. Nehemiah. He was loved by the king because of his countenance. And that was what gave him favor that enabled him to rebuild that wall. Look at Nehemiah 2, 1 to 2. He said, in the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when wine was before him, I took up the wine and gave to the king. He said, now I have never been sad in his presence. The man had been serving the king. He had never been sad in his presence. And the king said to him, why is your face sad? It is because he's used to seeing him smile. So he could notice that, this my servant is not happy today. If you read down that scripture, when he was making his request, the wife of the king was sitting close to the king, and they were asking him, how long would you stay away? Because he carried a present that they can't just let go. So before they can grant him what he wanted, they wanted to know the duration of time. And they gave him all the aid he needed to be able to speed up the work so that he can return back to the work. See, your containers can give you favor. Some people, whether life is sweet, oh, life is not sweet, oh, what is it? You must carry a countenance that can give you favor. Sad look can rob you of favor. It can drive blessings away from you and keep you at the spot because you're sad. You remember the story of Hannah. The Bible said for once her countenance was no longer sad. And the next time she conceived. So it means that all the time she was childless, her countenance was always sad. For Bible to recognize her countenance was no longer, it means that it was always sad. A sad countenance can drive away your blessing. You are never smiling. It makes people to misunderstand you. Do you know that? They feel there's something about you when you're sad. And again, let me tell you something. Everybody goes through stages in life. Everybody. So you are not the only one with problems. Everyone have challenges. And this stage will pass. It's not forever. So don't allow situation to control you. That because you have something bothering your mind, it is written all over your face. No. You cannot have a bright countenance without first of all having a bright, a happy heart. Do you know that? There is no magic. If you're not happy in your heart, you can't be happy in your face. Because your heart, there is a connection. It reflects whatever you're feeling in your heart will reflect on your face. So, but how can you have a happy heart? How can you have a happy heart? Because always, do you know when I was in secondary school, I wish I was in the university. When I got to the university, I couldn't wait to finish. When I finished, I needed a job. When I finished school, I wanted to get married. After marriage, I wanted to have children. You always have something you desire. So just imagine that you're looking for admission, you're sad. You got admission, you're sad to pass. You're sad to pass out. Don't you see you'll be sad all your life? Because there is always a need in a man's life. If your prayer point is, I want to get married, now get married first. You find out other prayer points will spring up. Then after that one is met, other one will spring up again. So can't you see that there will always be challenges? So you have to learn to be happy in spite of challenges. So how can you be happy? Learn every day. I'm not teaching this. I do it. Every day, learn to count your advantage. You have an advantage, or do you know? Your eyes is an advantage. People are blind. They don't have money either. Your eyes is an advantage. Your legs are advantage. There are people that was born deformed. If you were born deformed, there's nothing you can do. You still live like that. Do you know that? You can't change it because some of us are short now. You can't do anything about it. You are tall. You can't do anything. You're fat. You can't. So if you were deformed, you won't do anything. So those are advantage. Somebody was sharing a testimony that a friend of his lost his job. Then with the small money he gathered the money and traveled abroad. He got to London, they deported him. And he had been a Christian all along. He left the airport, he just went to go and meet his pastor. With all anger and all zeal, nothing is working. I have been praying to God, nothing is working. He said, pastor now gave him a paper. Write everything is not working. Before he left, his wife was having problems. His wife left him. Wife, not working. Job, not working. This visa, not working. Money, because he sold his property before he traveled. House, not working. When he wrote it, the pastor now started. I said, okay, when you came here, can you see me? He said, ah, pastor, what are you saying? If I can, it's okay, eyes working. Now that I speak, can you hear me? He said, I'm hearing you now. Okay, ear working. Were you the one that walked here by yourself or they carried you? He said, hey, let's walk in. Can you breathe? Breath. He said, before he finished writing everything that is working, He said, okay. And he said, those things should work. And I said, okay, let's exchange it. Can we exchange what is working for what is not working? All these visa, let's exchange it. He said, no, pastor, you want to collect my life? Say, so you find out that what is working is more than what is not working, and you're complaining. Amen? Amen. So every day you must count your advantage. I see blind people on the street. Have you ever seen? I see crippled people. Do you know every time I see a deformed person, I must thank God. It could have been me. They did nothing. If you escape it, it could have been your children. Some people give birth to children that are not normal. Man, it just comes. There is nothing you can do about it. So we have to count our advantage. It helps your heart to be happy. There are some times you want to be depressed. Learn to think of the things that are working. Then you find out that is a switch. You find out your heart will be happy. Amen? There are some people that don't have parents. You have parents that are poor. You are complaining, I wish my father was like Obasanjo. Do you understand? But some people grew up to become orphans. They never even knew what parents was about. So we have to learn to be appreciating God for those small, small things. Do you know there are some people that made money, massive wealth, at the age of 30. They have 45 years to live. It happens. 45 years to live. At the age of 45, they will make all the money, they are gone. Some other person will make money at the age of 50. His lifespan may be 90. So life is not one way. Don't see another person and become jealous. Everybody has a part to play. There are people that went global at the age of 60. That's their lifespan. There is a man of God I always respect that died November last year. He always says something, my smooth dog. When I got, because of the interest I had in him, he died on the day I was traveling to the U.S. Satan was telling me, you see, you two, you are traveling for mission work. I said, shut up, my own is different. When I got to America, I started listening to all his tapes, and I knew that he knows he won't stay long. He has said he can't let stand in his missing. There was a meeting at Bishop Benson, that also was still alive. He said, one of the reasons why I don't waste time, because I know I don't have so much time to stay in life. He said it more than 3 times. So in his lifetime, he touched almost the whole world, but he had a limited time to stay. You might have a ministry that may not touch the whole world as early as his did, because you have a longer time to stay. Our paths are different. Some people got married like 10 years before you, and 10 years after they have no children. And you got married this year and you give birth to twins. It happens. So please be contented at where you are. Don't let anything make your heart to be unhappy. Our path is different. Somebody going to Sokoto and somebody going to Ikeja, they should not drive the same speed. Do you understand me? Always carry a bright countenance. Hallelujah. Then, secret number 7. Dress well. The secret of attraction. See, the world is sight driven. The world we live in is sight driven. They love what they see. And you live in the world, darling. You're not in heaven yet. We're heaven on earth. We know that. But we came here to live, right? But we are living an atmosphere called earth. Right? The Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave his son. So it's the love, it's the world we are living in. You must present yourself well. You can never take look away from attraction. You can never. There are some people that enter your office, they are looking for work. They want to become your secretary. The way they dress and the way they smell, you know that you don't want your front office to be smelling like that. So you won't take them. But they are praying. But they don't know the secret of the world. You must dress well. No matter how poor you are, there are clothes for your level. In fact, in Lagos, somebody should not be even complaining about clothes. There are small, seriously. There are krika. There are places to buy cheap things. Do you understand me? As cheap as you want it. So please never play with the way you look. It's a strong secret of attraction. You want to attract others. You want to be respected. Do you know people respect you for how you look? That's why you see some people, they don't even have money. When they enter church, usher, I want to bring them to the front. Even in church, the people are biased. When you dress less, they can keep you at the back. See, the world is sight-driven. You want to look for a big contract right now. You must look good and smell well. When you enter the office, your perfume should... In fact, those are your first investment. Always, because when you enter, those people, okay, you dress, you are smelling, and you are talking about a contract of 20 million. Who will look at your face? Do you understand me? They may not know where you sleep, but when you come to the office, by God's grace, you went to school so you can talk. You dress well and smell well. They begin to listen to you. So please, always dress well. You want to attract a husband, it's important. You want a wife to agree, it is important. You want to get a job, it's important. You want your boss's respect, it's important. Some people, I remember when I was working at Antitrust Bank, there is a guy, his suit, you look at him twice. Anywhere, as at that time, anywhere our MD was going, the guy was an ET. He's intelligent and he knows what to wear. He will carry him. And if you see him, in fact, you will look at him twice. He knows how to present himself. Those things count. Don't go and be spending all night. You do all night. Prayers is important, but you must do the physical. You must do the physical. You remember when they were bringing Joseph from the prison to the king's place? What did they do? They shaved him. They knew that if you don't look good, the king would say, what does this man have to say? So they shaved him, make him look well, before they presented him before the king. It is always important that you look well. It's a strong secret of attraction. If you did not learn anything, learn a countenance, a bright countenance, learn how to look well. Because some people, it is when they come close to you before they start knowing your character is not good. But the first attraction is the way you look. Do you understand me? Then look have everything to do with your dressing, your countenance. So it's very important. Then lastly, number 8 secret is you have to have a right approach and be polite. You have to have a right approach. The way you approach people, it is very important. The first statement that leaves a woman's mouth the day is meeting a guy is very important. The first statement that leaves a guy's mouth the day you're meeting a girl, or not even you, that she heard you speak to another person, is very important. So you must be polite and have a right approach. It's a strong secret of attraction. Amen? So you must learn how to talk. Some people don't know how to talk. Do you know you can say one thing and it means another thing? I can say come, and I say come, Jerry. It's the same come, but the tone is different. The person will perceive it differently. And that will determine the person's response to you. I've been waiting for you. I've been waiting, though. It's the same thing you want to say, but you've expressed it in two different tones, so it means two different things. So please be polite in your approach. It easily makes people to give their attention to you. That's why you see the major reason why Nigerians disobey Nigeria police is because they don't know how to talk. You will rarely disobey a policeman in abroad because they are asking you something. Sir, can you move us, sir? Please, can I have your document? They are polite for you. So you don't have reason to tell them, I'm for waiting now. But police here, madam, where your document? Pack, pack, pack. You know, the way they will talk to you will make you respond to them. Hallelujah. But I have an excuse for them. Do you know the excuse I have for them? The sun is hot. Sometimes when I get out of the, maybe I get out of the car and I have something to do in the sun, the way I will become rash, I will make an excuse for them. Hallelujah. There used to be a madman in my village. That's a joke though, but it's real. And when the sun becomes so hot, you say, may the sun not come make person mad though. He's already a madman. He say, I made the sun not come make person mad. Because sun can make you get crazy sometimes. Amen. So these are the secret of attraction. If you keep them, you will find a way practically how to improve your life and how it will improve the way people talk to you and respect you. Hallelujah. Thank you so much for coming to Singles and Married today. Hallelujah. Shortly, we are going to go into our true life issues. And please, straight questions. Let's make it warm. Let it not be dull so that we can close on time. Because after the talk section, we have 5 minutes of hot praise and we go. Hallelujah. If you have any question concerning this topic we taught this evening, kindly ask. We'll give you opportunity to ask. But before then, I'm reading a true life story out for you. This woman had been married for 11 years. And she says she have 2 children for her husband. He said, but she had been the one paying bills in her house. And the man sit down and not do nothing, and he really does not appreciate it that much. And last month, according to her, she decided to stop paying the bills. Now the husband is threatening her for divorce. That if you don't pay these bills, or if you stop, you are seeing money and you want us to be hungry, I will divorce you. And she is asking. She consented that, oh, I want the divorce, no problem. But she's asking. After reading, I think she got into our Facebook page and she was reading some things. And said, okay, how do I make this man to be responsible if I keep paying the bills? If you say, okay, I want my marriage, how do I keep my marriage, but yet make him to be responsible to pay bills? So he's asking for your advice. I have a husband that I am the woman providing for the house, and he seemed to be comfortable with it. And now I'm not providing, he's telling me he wants to divorce me. And I'm cool with it. But after reading some information on our GLN Facebook page, she's saying, okay, if you're saying divorce is what God does not want for us, and now I want to build my own marriage, how do I make my husband to be responsible if I keep paying the bills? 2-3 people and we'll go to another topic.
Praise the Lord. I want to say, she should first of all try to know why the husband is not being able to provide for the family. Is it that the man was working before that he lost his job? Or he just decided not to do anything? She just look at it because married, two of them are into it, and she is there as a helper. If the man actually made up his mind not to do anything as a lazing around, I think she has a path to get okay there. But if the man lost his job and maybe he's trying to make a point to get another
job. How long can she give an excuse of when you lost your job? Like how long? Like 5 years? 2 years?
5 years. Is it the man has a good job? Is she able to get a better job at least instead of 1 year maximum?
And if he doesn't get
it, not working towards that, then she should take another job.
What would she take? Divorce?
No, not this divorce. She should sit down with the man. If I were the one, I would sit down with the man to talk about it. And look, I'm becoming uncomfortable of feeding the family and
this women shall be selfish. If not, the man just run the bin, no problem. Oh. You won't be uncomfortable. Okay. Hallelujah.
Well, looking into the story, we can say, because everything that man does under heaven, there is a reason for it. There is nothing you see nothing you do, that there is no reason for doing that. So possibly at times, men don't usually, especially when they are punishing a woman at times, they don't usually disclose their mind for doing that particular thing. But I will suggest and I will advise, if the woman can talk to the man and also tell the man to seek counseling in order to get the man a job, something to him, and if the man also persists and saying possibly if the woman didn't get a job or something like that, all that, I think the woman has to adjust and endure it, depending when the man who understands the reasoning and all that goes on. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. So you're advising her that she should, okay, but for the meantime, she should resume taking care of the bees for the meantime. Okay. Things are just. Another, there's somebody around here. We're supposed to have a 2-mic, right? Who is the second person holding that mic? But what if she's working? Because in this scenario, she's working. She's not doing business. So how?
They can rub minds together to make this happen. If the man refuses, like he said, then let him go back to the third party, which is God Almighty, in prayer. Tell him when.
Because with the kind of man I saw, because he's threatening for divorce. How can a woman be making bills and now she pauses and you're threatening for divorce? It's like it's a responsibility to keep taking care of you. So there is something wrong somewhere. Hallelujah.
Well, I would say yes, because
you talked before, right?
Yes, just like, I just want to comment.
Okay.
Yeah, if you observe it very well, before the husband can take such a decision, you get to know that before the husband can think of the divorce, there is something going on within them. Maybe there is no close relationship within them. There is nothing existing. Maybe they are just under the marriage umbrella and they are living, but they are single inside the same apartment.
It does happen. It does happen, but I will talk, I will say things that might bring about that. Okay, let me listen. Hallelujah. Briefly, quickly, so that we can move to. Get relaxed.
If you're a woman, if I'm getting over 500,000 naira per month and my husband is making 50,000, I'm going to live by that money. See, if you're paying the bills as a woman, you will pay it for the rest.
Okay, you live by the 50,000. That's wrong. You should support.
I'm not saying you should. Okay. Taking the role of a man, you tend to act as a man in the house. Even if your husband is trying to, okay, my dear, please, I have 40,000 for the tuition fee. This is how much I can afford. And you're saying, I can afford 400,000. And this is where I want my child to go. Bentley International is ideal. And the husband is saying, this one is better. The moment the husband agrees, so you are trying to, before you know it, you are dictating everything in the house as a woman. So me, our advice are, they should seek counselor. And the man should be responsible for it.
Hallelujah. Okay, that's a beautiful one. Two more people then will go. There's a person behind you, please. There's somebody behind you. And then that last person. That's it.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I will have to say, if the man is threatening the woman for a divorce, I'll say that the man is not responsible for not even calling the woman, the wife, like, okay, you know my condition. What should we do? We are threatening for a divorce. That means the man doesn't want to take responsibility to him. That means the man is already the last since the woman is doing it. And any, according to the Bible, that any man that doesn't provide for his family is worse than an infidel.
That's a good one. Finally, you.
Praise God.
Side word.
The business, to make the business go abroad, to widen it. So what I'm bringing out there is this. The woman said, when she was talking to me, she said she had to go to God in prayer, pray like never before, visit different mountains to make sure he changed his mind. So I didn't be asked, just because I was saying, okay, you are not paying bills, you are not doing anything, I told you I do everything, but for now, you beat me up, you beat this, you did that. So for that reason, I...
saying the woman should persist,
woman should persist
and pray.
To every marriage, there is a challenge.
Yes.
And there must be a sacrifice. So, somebody is having a brother of God. Many of them, they are not coming out to tell you what they are facing. Many people are facing what is even more important.
That's true. That's true. Amen. That's a perfect one. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes it's not as if your advice is very crucial. It's not as if I couldn't have just replied and that's it. But one, it gives you opportunity to hear other people's view. And two, we learn from other people's situation. It's just like we are doing couples chat. You hear firsthand. So what I would advise in this situation is this. She asked a question. Now she's decided by what she's known to keep the marriage, but how will she keep the marriage and make the man to be responsible? Some of us said prayers. Some of us said that we should persist. Because the truth is, the Bible said you are a helpmate. What does a helper do? Assist you. A helper can assist you or help you do. The dictionary meaning of a helper. Somebody is either is assisting you or somebody that helps you to do something. So it's not only, a helper does not only mean assistance, but somebody, why are we looking for divine helpers? You know, we pray that prayers. Father, give me a divine helper, somebody that could link you to your destiny or help people to do some things you cannot do. So it shouldn't just be that you are a helper just to assist, but in why do some presidents have vice? In their absence, there should be somebody that will do. I believe this man does not have a job. Because the truth is, there is no man in his right senses. Men naturally have ego. They want to do things. But there is another thing I noticed, that when people start taking your responsibility as a human being, whether you are a male or female, there is tendencies for you to relax. Because everybody likes relaxation when you're not doing anything. It's better for you when you're not doing anything and you're doing something. So the men tend to over-relax. And that's why you now find out that a woman keeps doing it for a lifetime. But if you earn more than your husband, make him to be responsible. Let him bring his small one and you add to it. Not that he will not be keeping his own. Say, okay, just be using your own for pocket money while I run the bill. It's wrong. But not that you will not be bringing your own. It's also wrong. Because marriage is partnership. You partner together. Because if he was the one receiving more, won't he bring more? He will bring more. So it's for us to know what is oneness. When you're married, you're no longer two. But the reason why a lot of women get agitated when they are providing, it is not the nature of a woman. You know, when you make somebody to be doing something that is not his nature, he will react. So it is not the nature of a woman to provide. So most women, when they are providing, they become saucy. Because she will not tell you some underlying things. She said she's providing and her husband does not appreciate it. It's very rare for you to be doing something like that and the man does not appreciate it, except with an attitude. You can do things with an attitude. I don't pay the bill. You know, say, not to sit down for us, now you know. Those kind of statements will definitely make him not to appreciate it. But if you do it with all humility, he should. But when you're not like the oga of the house, I'm going to lock the door, make sure you do this and do this thing. You go out. He will never appreciate it. So you have to learn to be humble when you are assisting. And those are the problems that women have. I could have it too. Because it's not the nature of a woman. But I love the two advice that I heard. We have to pray. Joyce Mayan is one of my spiritual mother. He said his husband used to be very lazy. He doesn't like to do things. But she kept pushing him. Now Joyce Mayan is the one preaching, but the husband, when it comes to finances, the one managing the ministry altogether. She's just the one on the pulpit. But the man makes other things wrong. So you must look for the strength of your husband. If he's not a preacher, does not mean he cannot be another thing. So pray God that God should bring his strength out. There are women that marry drunkard, and today they are no longer drinking. We need to be patient. Just like somebody said, you can't get out of the platter of gold. Everybody have what is going through. Or what you will face, because there is no 100% any person. But I will tell any person that is getting married this year, what you do in your first year of marriage is what you will do forever. So learn to set the standard right, though. Because when you now want to change it later, the person is no longer used to it. Like we discussed before, that a husband that does not like taking his bath in the night, it's the first year of marriage that woman left it. You just got married. Your husband said he's tired. You two said you were tired. Now sleep like that. You know, you did not keep the standard right. But if he's knowing you, you move into his house, he knows that every night you have your bath. The first few months of marriage is very interesting. You know that. People want to do things for each other. And that time is when you are dragging him. Baby, let's go and have our bath. He will get used to you like that. But when you allow him to sleep severally without having his bath, 3 years, he won't change and allow you. He no one bath, he tire. Because you didn't start it on time. Do you get me? So the first year of your marriage is very key. Anything you allow to go on might be for a lifetime. So you set the record straight. I can remember when I just got married, I was still working in the bank. My husband just left United Kingdom and came to settle home. He came from a culture where woman will bring small, man will bring small. I said, for Africa, not be like that. Oh. Only your own. Because if I want to. But because we kept that culture from the beginning. Because if you are abroad, if you take a woman out in the restaurant, you pay half, she pay half. Do you know that? Now me take you as a man who go restaurant. Then when the bill comes, the woman bring half, the man bring half. What can't it be that? I said, no, me. I don't want that. I'm a proper African woman. I will respect you to a call. Then you do your bills to a call. So he noticed initially, but because African women are not civilized, I say, I'm not one civilized. This is how it is. And that's it. Till today, in fact, the car I drive, he buy the fuel. When I see money, I don't see. When I was working in the bank, after I work, he never asked me for my salary. He doesn't want to see. He doesn't want to know. But that does not mean I don't do things at home. He can go out and he's coming back, he see the rug change. He can travel before he comes back, he see the house painted. I know how to do the things. But don't demand that now your own. Now you they pay NEPA bill, now me they pay what I be. No. So that kind of culture help him to bring up. But in case he does not have, please step in. You are a helper. Not that you not let your husband to be suffering because you earn more. That's greed and selfishness. He said, two shall become one. So if it is you, if you look at your husband as you, would you want to drink a Coke and you say, I'm thirsty, but I have money, I'm not bringing? No. So please, let's not be selfish when it comes to marriage or relationship. A lot of women, I have a friend that just delivered, she's my namesake. She just delivered, I think this week, in the U.S., she got married to her husband. Her husband was not working. If you see the wedding, be like celebrating wedding. She used her money, everything. The husband was not working. She took him. The husband was not working, but she was praying. The husband got a job like 3-4 months ago. It's her money she used to try go to the U.S., just delivered. You will never know if she doesn't tell you. She front the husband as if he's a celebrating. But she's the woman behind it, and you will not see it. She told me, if I say, man, they look for husband when you reach, maybe I never go, don't marry now. Now, wisdom. Now, you're having money. You don't have a man that have money. You don't get wisdom. Bring somebody up, touch him up, and people begin to admire your husband. Hallelujah. It's true. As long as you know, this man loves you for real. It's not as if he's following you for money. He loves you, but he just have now. Then you brush him up. You see other babes outside, they say, oh boy, see guy, oh. He not say, nah, you. Do you understand me? Life is all about wisdom. Praise God. Okay.
That we should.
Quickly.
You can push him up. Sorry, I wanted to correct something. Because the man might end up something like, because he's now rich, he start getting distracted from you and getting attracted to somebody else.
Why?
Because it's now, he feels he's now on top, now he's now touched. Like what?
So you should rather leave him as a mugu. I said, criteria first. No, first criteria. Be sure that this person genuinely love you. The people I'm talking about, they met while they were in the university. So you see that there was a genuine love, not attached to anything first. But she happened to get the job. He knows that this person likes me. This person is godly. Okay? You know him now. Then before you start doing other things. But now she's doing it. Have the man changed? No. It will only change based on your character. If when you had money, you were talking down on him, be sure when he gets money, he will show you. But if you were not talking down on him, no matter the money, you ever become his jewel. Amen. You want to... Question? Okay. Question? Hallelujah.
What pastor said is actually right. I remember when I just got a job in the bank then, we were meant to open account with a specific amount. You know, they do these things to test so that in case you are pushed to the wall, what you do. I didn't have the money. The way I was able to raise the money, it was even my wife, then we were not married, that even helped me, you know, in opening the account. And the first thing I did too was to refund the money as soon as I was paid. I was like, so how would you cope? So I think I agree. First, you must be sure that this is somebody that you want to spend the rest of your life with. You must have tested the person all around in terms of money, in terms of everything, integrity, everything. And then this is somebody now you can even stake your life for. That's one part. Number two part is, from what you said, that the woman you were talking about, one thing she can do is speak to the man. Speak to the man the way you want to see him, not the way he is right now. Even if he doesn't have a job, men don't want to be talked to anyhow. If she keeps speaking to him, talk to him like you are talking to a director of a company. Soon, he'll become that. Even if he's sitting at home now, he will begin to change.
You have to drive the vision out of him.
Thank you.
That's the truth. See, late Pastor Bimbo said something. He said the destiny of every man is in the mouth of his wife. If you want your husband to become anything, it's in your mouth. A woman can kill your destiny with her mouth. That's why the Bible said that the mouth of an immoral woman is like a pit of hell. Because her mouth can drive you to hell. There is power. You can talk a man down, he'll become useless. Use useless man. You don't know your mate. Look at, in fact, he will become useless because you said so. So you can talk vision out of a man. You help him, you bring him out of his shadow. Amen. Please, for questions, let's take it to next Sunday. Every question you have, we're taking it to next Sunday. And next Sunday, we'll be having another interesting topic to talk about. Please, if you have any single person and you don't want the person to miss it in area of marriage, please make them to be in next Sunday meeting. We're going to be talking about things you need to know before you say I do. The things you need to know, you must know those things. It will help you to avoid the headache you will face. Before, and things you must meet with a man or things you must meet with a woman before you take them to the altar. See, if you have any single person you ever love, your colleague, your church member, bring them and let them hear this word. It will change their life. Amen? We just have 5 minutes praise. If you, during the time we'll be giving praise, let's give offerings, please. And if you have your feedback form, do you know every Sunday, no matter how late we get home, we check.